Welcome into the Pick Aside Podcast, NFL divisional round and college football national title recap. Shane Orling, Tyler Rocky with you as always. Just going to start collegiately and get it out of the way because I don't think there's a ton to say. But Notre Dame plus +8 was not the right side. That's about
it. Well, it was for a little bit.
For a very brief moment, it was the right side. What the fuck is Marcus Freeman doing? For a guy who had done so well all playoff.
Well, here's the thing.
Big decision-making moments. What the hell was he doing?
I'm right there with you. But if that field goal goes in, and we're talking about one of like the 8 or 9 shortest possible field goals that you are allowed to attempt, if that goes in, there's the cover.
Sure.
In terms of game script wise and everything, made no sense. Like that was Matt LaFleur-esque, the down 8 kicking the field goal decision that he made in the playoffs a couple years ago. But yeah, even, it's just terrible.
Even if it goes in, it's the most baffling, dumbest decision any coach made in the entire playoff.
Well, now you could have said that final drive, they had a chance, or if they had gotten a stop, then that final drive, they have a chance to win the game instead of tie the game. But yeah, it wouldn't be the decision I would have made.
And they didn't get the stop, so it doesn't even matter. It just, the whole thing rubbed me the wrong way, and it sucks because Freeman had done so much right, and he'd been on the right side of the analytic decisions all playoff, really all season. And he
was on the right side of every single one leading up to that, too, like the fourth down. Now, I wouldn't have fake punted.
No, me either.
But albeit that's a little bit of a different fake punt. Like, I think Ohio State knew it was coming, and I think that was just a play Notre Dame felt very comfortable running in a fake punt situation, just a very backwards formation.
But with what Riley Leonard was offering you on 4th and 2, just run that play. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But a fake punt, you're just asking to do too much. Ryan Day gets his national championship. Where does he rank in the top coaches in college football? Because I think there's the sour taste of he keeps losing to Michigan. But now he has a ring. He joins Kirby Smart and Dabo as the only coaches with a ring active in college football.
That's kind of a mind fuck to me right there.
That's it. Mac Brown was the only other one, and he gave it up.
Quits. Here's what I'll say about that. I don't know if Ryan Day won a national championship yesterday. I think the Boosters won a national championship.
Yeah, yesterday. I kind of agree with you. Because, look, man, Ryan Day did everything he could to shit himself at the end of that game. The second half, they turtled. They played not to win. That final drive, you go 20 seconds left on the play clock, snap the ball for a QB run, then come back with a second QB run. It took until 3rd and 11. Thank God Notre Dame showed a zero blitz. Otherwise, I'm not convinced they would have done the deep ball to Jeremiah Smith.
Yeah,
he let his worst faults come out in the biggest moment.
Not to mention the cherry on top of it all was he probably killed a fan when he threw his headset into the stands. Like, even in moments of triumph with him, like when Jack Sawyer had the scoop and score for the touchdown that sealed the game against Texas, who looks like the biggest loser on the sideline than Ryan Day with his form run down the sideline? Then you have him. He chucks his headset into the stand. Like, you could kill a guy with, like, those things aren't light.
It's so good. I think he's a bad person. I'm just going to say it. He gives me bad person energy. Like, the video of the golf cart crashing into the wall.
Felt like karma.
And, well,
the best part was, like, the jokes, like, oh, Lou Holtz hired the driver or something like that.
But, like, Will Howard's laughing about it, right? He gets out of the golf cart and he's laughing. He's got
Ryan
a smile.
Ryan Day, it's code red.
Ryan Day looked over at the driver like he was going to beat her to death. Like, the scariest look on his face you could imagine. It's he was golf so pissed. Like,
unless you're driving that thing off a cliff, no one's getting injured.
You just won a national title. How could you possibly be this upset?
Yeah.
It was just the whole thing. I don't have a lot else on the national title. Ohio State was up, 31-7. It was a pretty convincing victory, even with it getting a little close at the end and Notre Dame briefly having a chance at a backdoor. It is what it is. If you bet the 8.5, you lost. But I had the future on Ohio State.
Congrats to you.
Covered my own ass. I was in a good place. So all good for me. NFL, little bit of a different story.
Oh, yeah.
Saturday couldn't have gone worse. I'm never for the life of me going to understand how Houston didn't cover that game. Outgained Kansas City by 120 yards.
Well, that was the story of the weekend.
Outrushed Kansas City by 100 yards. Was better on third down than Kansas City. How in the hell do you not cover an 8.5 point spread? Forget win the game. You can't cover 8.5 when outgaining by 120 yards and being better on third down. That's astonishing.
It felt like a lot of timeliness with it. And it's kind of been the whole thing for how the Chiefs have been so successful is like in important situations, they make the plays that other teams don't or that other teams convert on half the time. Like Patrick Mahomes and even the defense too, it feels like in those type of gotta have it type moments, they're converting them at like a 75-80% clip. And it's just far beyond what every other team is doing.
Well, credit to you because you took the Chiefs. And I feel like you probably feel a little bit like you stole money.
Yeah. But hasn't it felt that way with about every single Chiefs like weird win? Like you feel like you're stealing money, but it, at this point, it's a trend.
It is. Yeah. Like, and look, Mahomes over the last 2 years is the worst quarterback in football against the number when laying more than a touchdown. So that part of it, I'm always going to be on that side. I'm always going to fade that trend because it is what it is. And over the long haul, you're going to lose money laying big points with the Kansas City Chiefs. But you picked a good spot to do it. You got a good result. I felt like an idiot because I mean, Kymie Fairbairn leaves 7 points on the field. You miss a field goal, you miss an extra point, 4 points left on the field in an 11-point game that ended up a 9-point game because of a safety would have been a never in doubt cover. And that's not even counting the field goal that got blocked where Kansas City actually did have an impact on the play. Yeah. It's two plays Kansas City had zero impact on, and Kymie Fairbairn just fucked Houston Bettors.
Yep.
Fucked them. I hate him.
He's one of those guys like...
I no longer have a problem with Cairo Santos.
No.
Watching Kymie Fairbairn, I apologize to Cairo Santos.
Fairbairn is the guy that's...
Jesus Christ, man.
No. Fairbairn is the guy that Cairo Santos supporters love to throw back in your face.
I know.
No Cairo Santos supporter is advocating for Kymie Fairbairn. They're advocating for like the Brandon Aubreys and the Chris Boswells and those type of guys.
Yeah, the Jake Bates.
Yeah.
Not Kymie Fairbairn. No. Look, part of it too, I mean the penalty stuff. Where do you land on the Mahomes flop going out of bounds? I thought it was gross. You get enough help already. You got to do the flop. He got a roughing the passer call on him that was just like mind blowing.
I didn't have a problem with the roughing. I mean, he clearly goes high at the helmet. Like that's been called all year. And I think it's more of a problem with the rule than it has anything to do with the Chiefs. I think it's something that we've seen been consistently called in the NFL. And it's not just a Chiefs thing.
The one that bugged me
flop out of bounds. I'm with you, though.
Well, and he didn't get the flag on it, so I can't bitch too much. But like Stroud was running out of bounds and got popped, and it was a moment, no flag, where I'm like, if that's Mahomes, that's 15 yards. Yeah. The following possession for Kansas City was the unnecessary roughness where Houston players collided with each other above Mahomes, and they threw an unnecessary roughness flag. And I'm like, what are we doing here? How much help does this team need that they get pass interference on 4th and 14, they don't get PI called against them when it's clear PI? How much help do they need? It's why I hate them.
I get why people don't like it, but it doesn't mean I don't want to see that team play in these big games because, you know, A, at a minimum, the games are going to be good, and B, like, there's worse things to see than Patrick Mahomes in another Super Bowl.
I will say I don't want to see it. I'm over it. You will get a one-score game, though. It's almost a guarantee at this point. When the Chiefs are playing, you're going to see a one-score game. This is important for our friendship. You're not betting Kansas City this weekend, are you?
I have not made a decision yet.
I know
they're slight favorites.
I would prefer you don't bet the game than bet Kansas City.
What, are you going to hurt me?
I will look at you differently as a man. Josh Allen is right there to save our football universe. He's there to put a stop to the nonsense.
So why would I rather be like, you could really like just be upset with yourself as a final result here. Like think about what could happen. Like if the Chiefs go out and win, not only is your Josh Allen fandom hurting, but also your wallet will be hurting. Why would you go for the double-edged sword there?
I don't know, but I, you know what? I'm a glutton for punishment.
All right.
It's my
you
life.
Do you.
I will. I, anybody who bets on the Chiefs this weekend, I think you hate America. I do. I really, I think you like,
I think Potsy's already got a, if you, Chiefs yeah, bet but in.
You know what? He loves the Empire. Like when he watches Star Wars, he roots for Darth Vader. I don't understand the people watches betting on Frosty, the Chiefs in this game.
Sun.
It's like the Bills are the Rebel Alliance and the Chiefs are the Empire. You don't root for the Empire when you watch these movies. You don't. When you watch Harry Potter, you don't root for Voldemort. That's betting on the Chiefs.
I've always said we do need a filmmaker who just offers the twist where it's like 50-50. You don't know who's winning.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. I'd like to see. I do occasionally, like The Dark Knight does a good job of the villain winning, but you don't root for the Joker in the movie. It's like the end of the movie is the point is that it's bad. You don't root for him. Do you know what I mean?
Some do.
You can't root for the Chiefs.
You would strike me as someone that would root for a villain in a movie.
No, man, you don't do it. I don't root for Darth Vader. I like the character, but I don't root for him. It's the same thing with the Chiefs. I appreciate their greatness. I respect it, but I'm not rooting for it. I would like to see them be toppled much more than I would like to see them win a third straight. Right.
The thing is like you've got two good options here where it's like, I can do without seeing the Texans in a Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
The Bills and Chiefs, like, I'm cool with either.
Okay, that's fair. Saturday night, for you, good. For me, just dreadful. I mean, just fucking dreadful. I was on the under. That was dead in about 15 minutes.
Yes.
I was also on the Lions laying the 9.5. And I know he just got hired as the Bears head coach, and we're all very excited. I like Ben Johnson a lot. I thought the game plan was atrocious. And I will fight anybody says otherwise. I know he got 31 points. I know he got 500 yards, but going away from the run as much as he did, and it started on the second or third drive when they had a chance to score. You're up 7-3. You're on the 18-yard line. It's third and one, and you're getting 10 yards a carry. Why are you going empty formation? Not only going empty formation, but motioning David Montgomery out wide. He's your best pass blocking skill player.
Well, especially without a running quarterback, too. Like, you're right. Not running QB draw with Jared Goff.
And Monty is your best pass blocking skill player. He's not a receiving back. You're not throwing him the football. And yeah, Amon-Ra St. Brown falls down. And if he doesn't, maybe the play goes differently. But if you, I don't know, run the ball, you don't have to worry about a receiver falling down. You don't have to worry about pressure getting home. And you don't have to worry about a strip sack. You probably get a first down. You probably score a touchdown. Then it's 14-3 and the game's effectively over because you won't have to spend the rest of it chasing points. But you go third and one empty, pressure gets home, fumble, and then you spend the rest of the game chasing the Commanders. I just thought it was a mistake, and it was early. Why are you going away from Gibbs there?
I'm not going to get too much. Like, sure, one mistake there, and you end up chasing. But, like, the heat really should be on Aaron Glenn. Like, seriously?
He was down six starters. You know how I feel about it. We're never going to see eye to eye on this. How many points he gave up?
38 technically because of the pick six, but yeah.
And you get into that situation where the pick six just throws your game plan out the window. Like, you can come in with a plan, but they got punched in the face and they didn't have an answer for it. And I think both sides of the ball, everybody panicked. Like, Glenn didn't have a way to stop Jaden Daniels. They're chasing points. They can't get stops. He's going to be a head coach. Ben Johnson is a head coach. Yeah. It is what it is. I just thought, and this is the price of the NFL. This is the price of being good and going to the playoffs as a team that hasn't. And I think Lions fans, based on their reaction to Ben Johnson, are very inexperienced in this arena. Every decision your coaches make is going to be under a microscope in these games. Mm-hmm. And the price of being good is that people want to hire your coaches
and take your players.
And that's where the Lions live now. It's a wildly disappointing end to a season for them, but the reality, they played a really shitty game. I think their coaches had their worst day of the year by far. All of them. 12 men on the field is horrible by Aaron Glenn and Dan Campbell. The offensive game plan's horrible by Ben Johnson and Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell had a horrible game. Mm-hmm. Goff had a horrible game. It all happened at the worst possible moment.
It's like, that's kind of the thing. It's like these inopportune things. And I like the defensive decimation too. It's part of why I've always told you, I didn't think the Lions were built to win the Super Bowl this year.
You were probably right.
And it's because a game like that could happen. Now, I get like 38 instead of 45, whatever. Like, 38 is still good enough to beat the Lions. The Lions are one of the few teams that's still going to be in the game,
yeah,
despite giving up 38 points. But it certainly falls into the hole of you could lose in the playoffs because your defense is too volatile, and we certainly saw that play out. Offense, I mean, you're right. Jared Goff had one of the worst games that we've seen of him in a Lions uniform since Ben Johnson took over. All of it's true, and I think it just all came to a boil in that game. I didn't see it looking like that. I thought the Lions would win the game. I thought I was going to get my cover because it was going to be Commanders down 14 late.
Yeah.
Turns into 7. Wasn't the case. The Commanders, pretty much from halftime on, it was all them.
Well, it's like everybody's mad about the Jameson Williams trick play. And I don't like that. Like giving the ball to a wide receiver down 10 to throw.
Yeah.
Don't love it. And it results in a pick. And then the game's effectively over. But you're down 10 in the fourth quarter. The odds you're winning that game when you can't buy stops are so slim anyway. Yeah. It's why the 3rd-and-1 empty will be the play that will haunt me in betting the Lions in that game. Because I thought if they just kept running the ball, and it's what I said all week to you, I thought that they would play time of possession, that they would run the football, that they'd shorten the game. We don't want to deal with the Washington Commanders. We're not even going to let them on the field. And instead, they start throwing the football, and they're doing play-action shots and deep balls and trying to score in a hurry. And I'm like, this isn't the game you want to play. 3rd-and-1, run the ball. Get another few plays. Milk some clock out here and take a 14-3 lead. You probably end the game by all like actual measures.
I mean, yeah, if you could just become that team that we saw almost the entirety of the regular season with them, where you just take like every play 7 yards, whether it's passing, running, like, every play you're averaging out to around 7 yards, where it's just like little things here. You're not going for the home run shots. I think the home run shots kind of manifested themselves naturally. Like, we're talking about trick plays that where the point of contact between the receiver and the ball is no more usually than 15 yards down the field, but become explosives after that. I feel like they could have gotten back to that a little bit more. And instead it was more of the air it out and risky air it out type of plays. Like you said, with the Jameson Williams ball, like it's something that it's going to haunt Ben Johnson and it's going to haunt Lions fans, because let's be honest, that's probably your best chance.
Nah, ain't no probably about it.
Like,
it's so much more likely that they never go 15-2 again as long as a Lions fan lives than that they have this season again.
Like, and I'm not saying even
5-5,
but I'm not even saying that. I'm talking like even a 13-win season. Like, it took a lot to build all this together. It's taken a lot in terms of coaching, getting the absolute perfect collection of coaches. You had everything kind of work out for you in the draft the last couple of years. You had a GM that I think built this thing wonderfully, but I know that the draft that he had a couple of years ago with Jahmyr Gibbs and Jack Campbell, it looks great now. Is it going to look great in 3 years?
Second contracts might hurt.
That's where you look at it and you're like, it was perfect for what the team was now, but if you don't win in this window now, you're probably like, those are two picks that are going to go come back and haunt the Detroit Lions in all likelihood with Gibbs and Campbell.
None of this is to take away from Washington. Jaden Daniels is the best rookie quarterback I've ever seen. He's probably the best rookie quarterback in the history of the league. I doubt it's even a debate at this point. He was spectacular against the Lions. Like, every bit of the hype he lived up to and exceeded. He's awesome. And I'm joining you. I'm following your rule. I'm sorry, everybody. I will not be betting the NFC title game. I'm not going to bet the Eagles. I'm not going to bet the Commanders. I will not fade Jaden Daniels again. And I don't really feel like I can get behind a Commanders cover, so I'm just going to watch and enjoy. Maybe I'll bet a total, but I'm with you. I can't bet against him anymore.
Yeah, it's not fun. It's dangerous.
Yep.
I mean, talk about someone who, even if they are going to lose on Sunday, the backdoor potential is through the roof. It's just, I can't do it. I cannot do it. Now, I may bet on them because I do have the Eagles Super Bowl future. So I'm wondering, maybe I try to catch a middle there.
There's probably a way. Yeah. Yeah. I would hedge it. Anything else, Commanders, before we move to Sunday?
No, I mean,
it's just wildly impressive.
Yeah. And it just shows when you overhaul things and do it right.
Yep.
Look what it looks like.
And I think the Bears are doing that. Hopefully. That's for another show, but I do. It feels more like that than it has in the past. Sunday, Rams-Eagles. There's a sneaky decision in here that I thought was really bad by Sean McVay.
Let's hear it.
And if he didn't make it, can I sell you that they win the game?
What was it?
Opening drive, he goes for it on fourth down, and it leads to 7 points. Then the Eagles score, and they're up 10-7. And they score again, and they're up 13-7.
Okay.
Right? Maybe they were
a missed extra point on the first drive.
Right. Yeah. The Rams are driving with a 13-7 deficit. Fourth down in the red zone, McVay took the points. That's the killer moment. If he doesn't take the points there, maybe they don't score a touchdown. But if they do, that final drive in the snow, you can kick a field goal to win the game.
The only thing about it is that I have a feeling, A, at some point in the game, Philly tries to go for two. Now, you can't forecast that, but Philly probably tries to go for two at some point to, like, get yourself on the right numbers. Also, I wonder how much weather was a factor. I'm trying to remember exactly what the conditions were like at that point.
At that point, it hadn't started snowing yet.
Had it not started snow? I thought it started snowing in the second quarter at some point.
I believe when they attempted the field goal, it had not started snowing.
Okay. Because I just,
maybe it did, maybe it was, and I was like, but,
or maybe it was something too that maybe it was part of the calculus that went into the decision as well. Like, listen, it's about to get really shitty out here real soon,
and we just
take
need
any
points
that you can get.
But again,
be within striking distance.
If you're willing to go on the first drive, I think you have to be willing to go on the next one.
It
right?
didn't bother me a whole heck of a lot. I thought he would go, but I was good either way,
and it's kind of who he is. Like, this, I think, doesn't get talked about enough. I was impressed he went on the opening drive because McVay is not that guy.
No.
McVay is very conservative in these spots. Yeah. He kicks on fourth down. He'll punt in weird punt spots. He will kick field goals in spots that I think he should go. He's young and he's forward thinking and he runs an awesome offense. But when it comes to the fourth down decisions, he's not on the aggressive end of it.
But I think he almost takes a different approach to it. Like, he kind of looks at it in a sense of, all right, I didn't get it here, but I'm going to get it later. I'm going to make up for it at some point. It's part of why, like, I'm sure Buffalo, even though it hasn't been a problem this year, they've never been bothered by the Allen interception.
Yeah.
The Bengals are never bothered by the Burrow interception. Same thing with Mahomes and the Chiefs, because, like, we're so good offensively, we'll get it right back.
Yeah.
And it might be the way that McVay feels too. It's just a different type of turnover or giving the ball back to the other team.
Eagles side of things, can we still call Sirianni a bozo?
We do this every year with him.
Like, I know.
He has a couple games. It's almost
me.
It's James Franklin-esque, right? Like, he has a couple games where he makes you believe, but then he'll do one of the most mind-numbingly stupid things ever.
Clock management at halftime was fucking baffling. Just inexcusable.
Yeah.
Running the clock down for a Hail Mary try. I'm like, what the hell am I watching?
No, there's a lot of things.
Timeouts.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of things that he still does. I think the one thing that we've kind of learned is, even with the best of the coaches, nobody's perfect. They all have their warts somewhere, whether it's decision-making, clock management, whatever. There's problems. Every coach has some sort of issue that they have to – that it'll just plague them no matter what. I don't know if it's stubbornness or what, but
– I can pick out something every coach did that I didn't like. Like D'Amico Ryans with the no timeout on the fourth down try. Mm-hmm. Hemming and hawing on the decision is bad enough. To not call timeout when the play clock gets down, it's just ridiculous. Sirianni had tough moments. I've already picked on McVay. Ravens, Bills, believe me, there's plenty. I thought both coaches were like, what? First half, Ravens, I'm like, the fuck are you doing? Second half, Bills, I'm wondering what the fuck they're doing. So every good coach, you get to this level. It's what I said earlier. Every decision's under a microscope. So the bad ones look extra bad. And the good ones, when you make them, will look extra good. It's just, this is where legacies are made.
Yeah. And it's kind of comes down to A, who can minimize having to make those decisions and then execute in those decisions. And then B, how can your players bail you out sometimes too?
Yep.
And we saw players bail out a lot of these coaches as well.
Ravens Bills, I have one question for you. I don't want to recap the game too much. I'll say first half, I thought Todd Monken was awful. Straight dropbacks and verticals for Lamar Jackson, it's just not the recipe. Second half, I thought McDermott and Brady were awful. Turtling. You have Josh Allen. Go win the game. Take kill shots and end this. They didn't. That's basically my recap. I thought the right team won for what everybody in America wants to see, which is Bills Chiefs. Like, this has become the premium matchup in the playoffs. I think that this worked out right. Also, I can still say little game Lamar, right? I know he tied it at the end, but he put him in a hole to begin with.
If he didn't have the turnovers, then it's no different than some of the Josh Allen games that you build him up for and that you say, listen, this guy's been fucking great in the playoffs, but he hasn't gotten the result to go his way. Without the turnovers, you would have had to retire it. But with the turnovers, it may live.
The interception was awful. And it ended up not hurting them because the Bills didn't move the football. I think they went 3 and out. Ravens get the ball back. They had a really nice drive going. And then he put the pill on the ground.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't even have – it is what it is, dude. You put the ball on the ground and the Bills get it on the 20-yard line against you. It is what it is. You are a little game guy.
You can play excellent games and still have back-breaking turnovers. I think the golden standard of that was Jalen Hurts in the Super Bowl a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Played one of the best quarterback games, so good that you could have almost argued for him to be MVP in a losing effort.
Yep.
Unfortunately, you had the scoop and score go the other way on you, and it's ultimately what decided the game.
Those two turnovers, though, put him in such a hole. And I think the reason, like, I'm struggling with the aspect of, but he brought him all the way back in the second half. And you can say I'm just an asshole and a hater for this. I don't hate Lamar. I just, in big moments, for all the shit everybody gives to Joe Burrow and Josh Allen, and they put Lamar in the same conversation as those two quarterbacks, Lamar's never had the playoff run that those two guys have had in their careers.
Well, Josh Allen hasn't had it.
That's not true. He had a perfect playoff in the year they lost the division.
I thought you meant like wins wise. Because like
No. I'm just saying
this is his first AFC championship.
Second.
For Josh Allen?
Yeah.
This is his first, I'm pretty sure.
Second. He lost to the Chiefs in the AFC title game the year before the big divisional round game, 2021.
Really?
Yeah.
I could have sworn this was his first.
The second AFC title. No, I'm just making the point, like, Burrow and Allen have had miraculous runs based on performance statistically in the playoffs. Lamar never has. And then when Lamar gets put on the same pedestal as Burrow, Allen, Lamar, these are the guys in the AFC. I'm just like, Lamar doesn't have the moments that they have. And I know a lot of those still ended in a loss, but it's either missed kicks or not having the football in the critical moment. It's not like they've had the big turnover games. Josh Allen's played perfect multiple times, and Lamar gets talked about as the same level of performer because they've gone the same distance. That I struggle with a little bit. And
I think you're taking away a little too much from him. From the, he brought him back. Like, Mark Andrews, you got to make a play, man.
100%. And the Mark Andrews fumble, now people are a little too hard on Andrews for the fumble. That's a good play by the Buffalo defense. You come in, you punch the ball out.
Yeah.
The two-point conversion's fucking unacceptable.
Yeah.
But I will also say, that play never should have happened. What in the fuck is McDermott doing rushing three on first down against Lamar Jackson? He's got a clean pocket that's a mile wide, and he's running around for 15 seconds and then able to find a guy in coverage in the end zone. Duh. Don't rush three against Lamar.
Yeah.
All game, the blitz bothered him. And in the big critical moment on the final drive, ooh, let's rush three.
Don't send the heat. I mean, again, it comes down to, like, the coaching hasn't been – there's no flawless coaching. And I think you'll see it with everyone. But, yeah.
If the Bills want to have a prayer in Arrowhead, McDermott has to get the fuck out of the way. You're going to have to heat up Mahomes. You're going to have to take advantage of the tackles. You're going to have to cut Josh Allen loose. You cannot play another game where it's three quarters. Like, they didn't start running Josh Allen until 5 minutes left in the fourth against Baltimore. You can't do it. Third and two, you're going shotgun. Dude, you have Josh Allen. Just sneak him twice, get the conversion, and go home. What are you doing?
Yeah. Listen, there's questionable calls everywhere, and my concern with Buffalo in terms of going up against that Kansas City offensive line that has been susceptible, but you don't have the horses that Houston had.
No,
to get to Mahomes.
Certainly don't.
Far from it.
But that's why I feel like you got to get creative and bring pressure. Yep. If you're rushing three against Patrick Mahomes, you might as well kiss your chance at a Super Bowl goodbye.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do it. If you're going to do that, if you're going to turtle in the second half, if you do have a lead and you just decide we're not going to take kill shots, okay, you're going to lose. Like, this is what we've talked about all year, and it's what Buffalo did right in the first game. You have to kill Kansas City. You cannot leave them alive at all. You can't give them an open door. It's why I thought it was stupid not going for it against Baltimore. You did this against Kansas City in the exact same situation, and it ended the game. Why now are you kicking a field goal?
And that is like if Allen wins MVP, like that play, that fourth and two, fourth and three, whatever it was, that is like his quote-unquote Heisman moment from the season.
Yeah, and that's what you have to do in Arrowhead this weekend. You have to go take it. Mm-hmm. You can't leave it open for them. You have to end it.
You got
to
treat yourself like you're the underdog in this game, which technically you are, and you're on the road. Like, this is not going to be easy. It has been shown throughout for the last couple of years. Like, these playoffs have been the Arrowhead Invitational,
yep.
And the only person who's been able to get over the hump so far is Joe Burrow. And I don't suspect many others are going to be able to get past it.
If Buffalo does what I think they need to do, but it is a big if, and from kickoff, cut Allen loose and just let him be him, I think they win the game. But if they do what they've been doing, which is right for a full season and to get to this point in the season, of just let the game come to you, let the game come to you, and in the fourth quarter late, we'll cut you loose, I think that's going to be problematic for them. They have to. Now, maybe it's the way they do it because it gets them to the fourth quarter with a chance to win.
Yeah,
and then
that's
you
what
go,
I'm thinking.
Josh, go take it.
Yeah. Because I think that's how a lot of these Chiefs games are, is like you just got to hang around, and you'll have a chance. Now, problem is the guy on the other side is pretty damn good at executing in these moments too. So
that's why I loved what they did the first time, where we know with a 5-point lead, we're dead.
Yeah.
A 3-point lead, whatever it was, we're dead. But if we get a touchdown and we're up 9, the game's over.
Yeah.
So go do it. Go take it from them.
Yep.
And it was the right call.
Yeah. I just wonder how that translates from regular season to postseason, because we do see a lot of coaches turtle when you get to the postseason and you don't take the same risks that you're willing to take as you do in like maybe week 5 of the season.
No better example than Dan Campbell in the NFC title. I will never understand how he tightened up and kicked the field goal before halftime. It'll always baffle me. They would have been in the Super Bowl if he went for a touchdown and they got it. It just, coaches tighten up in these big spots, and I think McDermott's been ultra prone to it. Credit to Andy Reid, he doesn't. There are moments of clock management that I think are brutal, but he understands what he has, and he doesn't tighten up in big moments. He knows what his defense can do. He's good to go. Yeah. Just McDermott, to me, if you go out and get a lead in Arrowhead and you decide you're going to turtle, you're dead.
Yeah.
You'll let Mahomes back in, and you'll probably lose.
Go for the kill. That's the way you got to beat the Chiefs. That's how Cincy did it a couple years ago.
Like, yep.
They had no choice but to go to the kill because they were down so much.
Anything else before we get out of here?
That's all I got.
All right. Just in case you listen to this early, actually, I have a couple college basketball plays that I would just like to offer to the people quickly. Let me pull them up.
I've got some as well.
I don't want to miss them. If you get this before tip-off, great. If not, I apologize. But we are going to find a way to do college basketball. We have what we think is a pretty good plan. We'll get that started very shortly. UCLA laying 3.5 tonight at home against Wisconsin. SMU laying 2 at home against Louisville. And Texas laying 2.5 at home against Mizzou, my 3 plays
tonight. I like all those. I'll throw you a few extras, too. I like Wake -1 against UNC. Seton Hall +12.5 against Marquette. And Cincy +1.5 against Texas Tech.
Beautiful. That'll do it. It's the Pick Aside Podcast.